Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Lies and Illusions by Avalyn Page. Narrated by Gillian Macy and Alexander Sendis. 1. Presley, 4 years ago.
There's no fucking way that I'm letting you leave.
My brother Mikey orders from the doorway of my room. Not this crap again.
Well, I hate to break it to you, big brother, but I'm an adult. I can come and go as I please without your permission.
Mikey shoves off from the doorframe and stomps his large feet toward me in a huff.
His anger flows off of him in heated waves that might be able to melt the polar ice caps had they been in this room. Most wouldn't challenge him when he's like this, but I'm not going to back down. He can yell and roar, but that will not change my mind.
You are my little sister, and I will be damned if I let you cut and run out of state without so much as an explanation.
This isn't up for discussion. You and your one-man committee can just move on.
Leaving the shirt I was tucking into my bag, I spin on my heels and go face to face with my seething brother. His height looms over me, and for a split second, I feel dwarfed by his giant presence. He's like the heavyweight prize fighter breathing down the neck of his underdog opponent. Even though I'm the underdog in this card, he'll be the first to fall to the mat in defeat.
You made this deal, Presley. Don't let his anger make you second-guess the decision. This is your chance to leave, and you are taking it.
I cross my arms over my chest, standing my ground. He huffs his disapproval loudly. His cold blue eyes suddenly reflect back the image of my dead father, who died long ago, yet still lives in the darkest part of my mind. A piece of me that I continually fight from coming to the surface. My brother may have fallen in line with my father's version of life, but that's not my destiny. I will never live that life. Mikey's coldness brings a haunting thought hurtling to the forefront of my mind.
Just how much has my brother embraced the dark side of our father in my absence?
Mikey has a wife and a family now, but just how much has he followed in my father's dark footsteps on a dangerous path?
Would I be surprised if he was taking the exact same steps?
Not really. We had a piece of that bastard inside of us from the day we were born. I fought it, and Mikey accepted it with open arms. It's been 9 years since I spent more than a few days back in this town, and today would be the last time I set foot back here for the next few years. That was not a coincidence. Every trip back home from school was like a knife to the heart. My family life wasn't picturesque, not by a long shot. It was dark, unhappy, and filled with death and destruction. My father's club is a far cry from a family. And even though I was treated well, I saw what they didn't want me to see. Even after my father's death, the Heaven's Rejects are still a group of men who make the devil look like a child acting out to seek attention. Wherever they are, death follows.
You are not going. End of story, my brother declares in his matter-of-fact tone.
Too bad for him that tone has never worked on me like it did with his brother's.
I am going, I retort back, narrowing my eyes.
His argumentative retorts remind me so much of how we argued as children. Is that what we are going to resort to in adulthood? What more can I do to show him that I don't give a shit about his opinion? He growls in a rage, and to further my point, I turn my back on him and continue to pack. He will not intimidate me into staying. Mikey's large hand reaches out, grips my shoulder, and spins me back to face him.
I gave you 4 years at that expensive fucking school. Then, when you asked to go to graduate school, I relented and paid for 5 more years. You've gotten that degree, and it's high time you come home.
He's not wrong. Without his help, and the small life insurance policy my dad had left in my name,
I would have never even been able to afford the tuition for Stanford University. I was grateful for what he did for me. He equipped me to pursue my dreams. And deep down, I know he had intended for me to come back, well-educated and ready to stay home. But I didn't want to stay here, and honestly, I don't know if I ever would. The time I spent away from the Heaven's Rejects MC was a peaceful leave of absence that only reassured me that distance was the best thing for me. I had spent years living as the crowned princess under my father's rule and then my brother's. It was less than bearable. Every second I lived under this roof, fear ruled my life. Between the messes that my father had clearly left behind for my brother to deal with, to the change in the culture Mikey had tried to instill here, I was out of my comfort zone. I had tasted freedom, and that was a feeling that I was never going to give up. No amount of guilt over my brother's support would change my mind when so much was at stake. Yes, I'm aware of who paid my tuition, but you can't seem to accept that I'm not like you, I hiss back at him. You're happy here living as the king. I never was. After Dad died, I thought that would change, but it hasn't. If I'm going to survive in this world, it has to be away from here, away from this club, and away from your influence. The words that just left my mouth cut him deep, as I had intended them to do, because for a split second, I see a momentary flutter of sadness cross his face. He needs to understand, and this is the only way to do it. If I didn't do this now, he would continue to fight me tooth and nail until the bitter end, where I would end up a prisoner in my own house. I had to hurt him, or he'd never let go. Will you at least tell me where you're going? The East Coast, I shortly answer, before turning my back on him once again. Jesus, he utters, while pinching the bridge of his nose between two fingers. That's all you are going to give me, isn't it? I sigh internally, knowing that this is going to hurt me much more than it will him. Mikey is sometimes cold and calculated like my father. And moments like this remind me how truly different the two of us really are now. What about Mom? He adds in, delivering a low blow. Mom understands, unlike you. And she did, even if I had lied to her about getting an internship with the biggest psychology group in the country. It was an internship of sorts. That's what I was clinging to as the real reason. But it was much more than an internship. It was a chance to become something. A chance to get away from here and further my career. One that I was taking with open arms, despite the consequences that would come with it. Another opportunity like this would never come again, and I had to seize it. This was my chance to forge my own destiny, even if I was trading one devil for another with a laundry list of demands that I was required to meet. Sacrifices had to be made, lies had to be told, and secrecy of the highest level kept. As much as I despised this club, Mom was my only reason for short trips home. Just thinking about leaving her makes my heart die a little bit inside. But it wasn't up for negotiation. She was the sacrifice I had to make to get what I wanted in my life without furthering my debt to my brother and his club. She was the price I had to pay for freedom. It's just a few years. You do your job and then you're free. No family ties, no visits, and no locations. The devil who now owned me wanted me to cut off ties from pretty much the whole world. When they dangled everything that I had ever wanted professionally on a gilded string, I pawed at it like a playful kitten hoping to be adopted. I was desperate for something more in my life, and they were willing to give it to me on their terms. They wouldn't relent on me making calls home to my mom. But I had already ensured another way to make that happen. I guess it's the only good thing about being the daughter of an evil incarnate, because I knew how to think outside of the box. My mother was the only bright spot left in my life, and I needed her, even if it was only to hear her voice. Mikey rubs his hand over his brow in a feeble attempt of trying to come to terms with what I'm telling him. His skull is thick and filled to the brim with stubbornness, just like me. We were cut from the same genetic cloth. Even with so many years between us, I knew him better than he knew himself. He was the protective big brother, and I was the doting little sister who idolized him when we were closer as kids. Until all that changed the moment he joined the club. The playfulness inside of him was replaced by a man I hardly knew, and that is who is standing in front of me. Mikey was now Ray's club president. He was a man that did what he wanted, and everyone would fall in line behind him. The club came first, and everything else came in a distant second. Except for me. I grew up while he wasn't watching. Mikey, I start. You know that I don't belong here. I'm not the little girl that used to follow you around all the time. I'm a grown woman with a doctorate in psychology. This internship is the opportunity of a lifetime, and despite what you say, I'm taking it. He looks away briefly before returning his gaze back to me. The sorrowful look on his face gives me the answer I know is about to leave his lips. Fine, he grumbles, but I want you to come home when you can. Mom will miss you. I'll try, I lie. This program is really intense, and I don't know how much downtime I'll have. I guess I can accept a try, he disappointedly concedes. Before I can even respond, his large arms wrap around me and bring me into the tightest hug that he's given me in years. The familiarity of his embrace momentarily brings me back to the good days of our childhood. Before, it snaps me back to reality. This was a fleeting moment of weakness that would disappear the minute he left my room when his guard would go back up. Mikey, I squeak. There's a car waiting outside for me. I really need to finish packing. My plane leaves in a few hours, and I'm not even remotely ready to go. He reluctantly releases me and walks out of the room without another word, in defeat. Even with playing the ace in his hand by using Mom as an excuse, I trumped him in the end. I look around my small room at my mom's house. It's an odd feeling, knowing that this may be the last time I'm in this room. My walls are lined with photographs from my brief stint playing softball, academic club competitions, and a news article about my acceptance to Stanford. A dusty shelf next to them houses my trophies and medals that are reminders of my high school days that are long gone. My heart hurts as I scan the room as memories come crashing back. Shake it off. You know what will happen if you stay. Just leave the memories behind. My brother's muffled voice coming from down the hall instantly brings me back from my trip down haunted memory lane, as a reminder for my flight pings on my phone next to the opened and half-packed suitcase. I quickly grab the few mementos I decided to bring along and top it off with the rest of my clothes before zipping it closed. I grab my phone and slide it into my back pocket before moving the heavy suitcase off the bed to the doorway. It's sad to think that so much of my life currently resides in those three bags. It's pretty pathetic. Mikey's voice grows louder as I hear him arguing with my mother about me leaving. He doesn't realize that Mom has always wanted what was best for us. He took Dad's road, and I'm following Mom's new path. Dad's death freed us all. But for her, this was a chance at another life. She didn't have to worry about being a single mother or being homeless. She was well cared for and enjoying life for the first time in a long time,
even if she was under the watchful eye of my brother from a distance. I look around the room one more time before hoisting one of my bags over my shoulder, grabbing the other two, and leaving my old room behind. Mikey and Mom pause at the sight of me. Tears begin to well in my mother's eyes.
"I wish you would let me drive you to the airport, Presley," she offers. Leaving her behind on the curb in tears would break me, and I can't take that chance.
"I know, Mom," I reassure her, "but the internship paid for that expensive car outside, and I don't want to get off on the wrong foot with them."
"I know, baby," she relents.
Another ping sounds from my phone, and I know it's time to go.
"I love you, Mom,"
I softly cry as I reach out. Her small body wraps around mine and shakes from sobs.
"I love you,"
she cries against my shoulder. After a few minutes, she pulls her tear-streaked face away from mine and rubs her hand across my face.
"Be safe, baby."
"I will." I look to my brother, who stands next to her, and he doesn't budge. His stubbornness is apparently unwilling to give up control long enough to say goodbye. But it's for the best. He would only try to convince me to stay again, and I'd rather leave this place without another argument. I nod to him as I pass by. His silence remains as I head out of the door. Before I get two steps outside, a man in a black suit quickly grabs my bags and loads them into the back of the car. He ushers me into the open door. I slide into the warmed leather interior of the black town car. The sound of the door shutting behind me sends a shiver down my spine, and again when he climbs into the driver's side. The car jolts as it begins to pull away, while I watch my childhood shrinking in the distance through dark tinted windows. As the view of my mother's house disappears, I turn around as my own tears begin to drip down my face. I sob for miles until there's absolutely nothing left inside of me. The wet circular stains from the tears are now my badges of courage. The tears leaving my body represent the fear of the unknowns and loneliness from being secluded from my family. There's only one thing left inside of me now, and that's the resolve to see this through. This was my decision, and it's one that I will have to live with for the rest of my life. I just hope that it was the right one.
2. Voodoo. 2 months ago. "Old business?" my club president asks to the crowded church room. My brothers look around at each other, watching for anyone to add additional information into our daily club meeting. Hero, our VP, clears his throat, and I suddenly get the sense that I'm not going to like what I'm about to hear. "I'd like to bring up Slider's patch vote." I stifle a groan. The kid has stepped up when he's been asked, but his cocky attitude has started to wear on me. In his mind, he's already earned his patch. The reality is that he still has so much to learn about what it means to take the oath and join our brotherhood. He fared well in our more violent moments, that I can't deny. He just needs to learn that not everything is going to end in a bloodbath. The delicate balance between peace and violence was fast becoming the new normal for us. He just had to accept that, instead of looking for another fight. "Do you really think now is a good time?" Tyson retorts, with a questioning look plastered on his face. "I think we need to make our decision soon," Hero fires back. "It's not like he hasn't gotten his required time in. We need the numbers. The latest run-in with Rex should be proof enough of that." "I agree, but I'm with Tyson on this. He's put his time in, but I have some reservations about the kid. He needs more time to mature before we give him full status. We shouldn't jump to add in new members just because our numbers are down. If we need help, we can call in the other chapters," Ray's offers as a suggestion to the table discussion. Ray's shifts in his chair, pulling his hands up to the gray, stubbled beard that whips around his chin. The last few years have visibly aged him, despite the resurgence of his more youthful pursuits with Darcy as his old lady. He's almost chipper on occasion with her around. I should send her flowers for that one of these days. Or would that be weird? A card with thanks for fucking my prez might just send the wrong impression. I scratch the gift idea and pay more attention to the conversation going on around me. Hero scowls, but doesn't say anything more. He doesn't always agree with Ray's, and I get it. We're stubborn fucking bastards who think with our dicks most of the time. But Ray's is right on this one. There's no threat lingering on the horizon to warrant such a rapid-fire response. The suggestion that Hero made is something else entirely. I just need to find out what. Ray's adjourns the meeting, and as I'm leaving, I spot Hero heading into his office. Now's my chance to find out what's really going on in his head without the audience of our brothers. We might share just about everything, including the club pussy, but something is off about him. I haven't seen him like this since Danny's kidnapping by her stepbrother from hell. I don't even bother knocking when I shuffle into his office and close the door behind me. His elbows are firmly planted on his desk and his head hangs low in his hands. Hero doesn't even hear me enter or shut the door behind me. Oh yeah, something is definitely up. He'd be halfway across his office with a knife at my throat if he thought I was an intruder. What's up your ass today? I question him. His head shoots up like someone screamed fire in the clubhouse.
Jesus, V, I didn't even hear you come in, he quips with a startled look on his face.
You need a damn bell around your neck.
You just wish you had my stealthy ninja skills. I tease him back, and that elicits an eye roll from him. Plopping down in the chair across from him, I prop my feet up on his desk and take a sip of my coffee that I brought to the meeting with me. Extra dark with a shot of extra espresso. Just the jolt of holy fucking shit I need in the morning to get these batteries going. It's like drinking motor oil, but hey, it does the trick.
Get your fucking feet off my desk, dude, he orders.
What? It's fucking oak, not mahogany, Effie. I fire back as I comply with his wishes. He cocks an eyebrow at me and I just shake my head. You really need to get out more. How did you not catch the Hunger Games reference? Hero just stares right at me without showing any emotion on his face while shaking his head in return.
In case you haven't noticed, I've been a little fucking busy with club shit on top of having twins and a pregnant wife at home.
I smirk back at him. He really has changed so much from the resident VP asshole extraordinaire into a semi-domestic family man. He used to be such a hard ass. Now he's just a pissy little pussy cat with a ring on his finger.
Danny tamed the beast incarnate and gave him twin girls to terrorize him the rest of his life.
He tries to act all big and bad, but with a future filled with pink tutus and Barbie dolls, he's getting softer by the day. It's fucking priceless. Is Danny the problem? I ask gingerly.
Don't let her hear you say that. Pregnancy hormones mixed with my woman is about as easy as trying to fucking find a needle in the damn haystack. If it's not In-N-Out cravings at 3 a.m, it's Farrell's ice cream when they're closed. I have a fucking stockpile of that shit hidden in a freezer just in case. That's how bad it is.
She's pregnant? I tease him as I jump out of my chair and do a fake celebratory dance. He scowls back at me.
You'd have to be an idiot to not notice that Danny is pregnant again.
It's just not polite to say that in public or to her face. I do have manners, after all. Some days.
Shut up, asshole.
I see someone's hormones are raging. What? Does Danny want you to get your shit fixed after this one?
Please be another girl. He deserves it at the rate he's going.
Hero growls at me and then gets a very serious look on his face. I move at a glacial pace just to fuck with him. After years of knowing the guy, I know how to push his buttons to just above the explosion point. It's a skill and it comes in handy when I want to annoy the piss out of him.
No, but I have more at stake than ever before. What happens if Danny is in labor and shit comes knocking on our door? I want my family safe, and I think the best way to deal with that is bringing in more guys. We may be out of the shit business, but it doesn't mean it's done with us.
I consider his side and nearly agree with him before I stop myself. He knew the risks when he came into this club, and maybe Jagger's death has rattled his brain more than I first assumed. Sure, it was a direct hit with all of us, but we've made the best of what happened and fixed it from happening again. Rex's resurgence was a bit out of left field, but again, that problem is dead and buried. Our threats were dwindling like an old maid's chance of ever getting a man, so why is he worried about this now? I get it, Hero. Having a family is scary shit. You and Ray's have the most to lose out of all of us, but your brothers have your back. If you were worried, I can beef up some security at your house. Maybe even put up more cameras if you want. You know, I could even get you a copy of anything I record in that bedroom of yours. I wink, trying to ease the tension. Stay out of my fucking bedroom, V, he growls. But I'll take you up on the security offer. Fine, I huff. But sex tapes are so last year, you could live stream that shit now. No, he growls, louder. I pop up from the chair and extend out my hand to him. He stares at it before reaching out his own and shaking. Happy to do business with you. I'll be over later to install those sex cams for you. Not in my bedroom, fucker! He yells out the door as I leave, heading across the hall to my own domain. Good morning, girls! I call out to my computers along the north wall of my office as I flick on the light switch. Did you behave last night? Of course, silence is all I get in the return, other than the soft hum of fans running internally and the echoes of my footsteps on the linoleum floor. I'd be crazy to think that they would respond back. Well, until I get a chance to figure out a way for that to happen, and I have a few ideas, but that is neither here nor there. I have bigger fish to fry. Alexa, play my Get Shit Done mix. I request to my Amazon Echo that sits on my desk as I set my metric fuck-ton-sized coffee and phone down. The cup begins to tip, but I save it from ruining the paperwork littering my desk from a previous case from the security group our club runs. Just another case of a cheating spouse and the wife that catfished him into confessing. It was an open-and-shut case that required very little of my technical wizardry, as Ratchet calls it.
Playing Get Shit Done playlist,
her electronic voice repeats. Within a few seconds, the sounds of Five-Finger Death Punch blare out of the speakers that are perfectly Bluetoothed to my Echo. My ass moves to the beat as I walk over to the computer consoles and touch the screens like Vanna White to wake each of them up. The screen on the left blinks off the anime Marvel porn screensaver of Wonder Woman and Agent Romanoff getting down and dirty. I don't know what horny Asian kid drew and designed it, but I fucking love the internet for giving it to me. Lines of computer code scroll and flash across the screen as the search program I had running last night is still going, which is surprising because you wouldn't think that finding a hole in the state of California Government Family Services Department would be that hard. They had to be working with outdated technology because finding a back door should be child's play. Maybe my hacker extraordinaire skills were becoming obsolete. Nah, that's not possible, unless we're talking about some punk North Korean hacker. They'd be the ones who would give me a run for my money. I watch the screen flick through the codes of the government's database for a few more minutes before I shrug my shoulders and turn my focus to my other task for the day. Sliding over to the other computer monitor, I swipe my finger across the screen. Good morning, boss man, comes flashing up, and I swipe my finger on the scanner to unlock my more secured of the two consoles. The dossier of my target pops up, and I refresh my memory on the case, finding out more information about Rika's therapist, Dr. Matthews. She may hold the key to getting my brother's ass back to his club where he belongs. With her counseling Rika, Ratchet is concerned that she might have gotten Rika to spill about her time here. She was a wild card, and I only like to deal in absolutes. In her case, I needed to know more about her and find a way into her life to monitor her activities a few thousand miles away. Mixing business and pleasure wasn't something that I liked to do as a refined professional. However, this one would be filed among the special cases. The fact that I had come up short was driving me crazy. I was lying awake at night trying to figure out another angle or recreating a crazy backstory about why she was eluding me. Everyone had an internet footprint, and other than an account on a dating site that I had found, she was a ghost. Ghosts are suspicious, and something wasn't jiving with me about her. Casper or not, she had to have information out there, and I was forced to think outside the box. This case called for the highest level of discretion. It required looking at every angle with kid gloves, in order to not disturb the case currently going against my own brother and the old lady he hopes to have on his arm when he returns. Yet it didn't stop me from contacting her through the dating site. It was the last resort, and likely the only way to connect with her on a personal level. In order to get into the mind of someone with so much pull over Ratchet's situation, I'm pulling out all the stops. I just didn't expect to find her so interesting. Call it a curiosity, but I couldn't help myself when her profile popped up so perfectly on my first web search. The profile read like a doctoral dissertation. It was just the facts. No funny quips. No sexual innuendos. If this woman was looking for love, she was doing it all wrong. Even her photo was generic. Her face was obscured by her long, dark hair, and a single brown eye was exposed. It was so boring that it was somehow...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?